So, what led you to become involved with Christian work? Now, I'm going to sit down for this because I think this is going to be a bit longer answer. So, I'll let you. So, what's brought you to this point? What's your last story?
Why did I get involved in prison work? And I didn't think I would ever say this in my life, but I ended up in prison. Okay, so as a little boy growing up, you kind of think, you know, my life's going to go the way that it is. But I would never thought I would end up in prison. I ended up in prison at the end of 1995, and I ended up with a four-year prison sentence. How did I end up in prison? So really, it's going back, take you back really. I was the youngest of five, so you can imagine that. And we lived in a two-bedroomed council house on a council estate, so you can imagine that as well. So it was a difficult environment that I was brought up in. My father was a drinking man. He was always in the pub, always drinking, and my father was abusive when we were kids. Very fearful of him. He wouldn't think twice about giving you a good hiding, and that's just being polite with the way that my father was with us. And I think as a child growing up, I feared my dad, and I was fearful of my environment being brought up in. And I went through life kind of hurt, you know, kind of thinking, why do I have to live with the way that my father is and the way that he is with us? And the things that I saw him do, not only to myself, but to my brothers and sisters. So I was quite hurt in life. And as I was kind of growing up, one of the things that stayed with me as a boy was we lived in a beautiful place in North Staffordshire, the place called the Roaches. We could see it from the distance. And I had an experience when I was younger. I looked at creation, kind of looked at it, and thought, there has to be a God. So that was my kind of first place in my life. I thought, well, there has to be a God. But the problem was, I didn't have a relationship with this God. I knew he was there. I could see it. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And I could see that, but I didn't have a personal connection, relationship. So I went through life knowing that there was a God, but no relationship with him. And my life really was one of always wanting to be out of the house, always wanting to be away from my dad, always fearful of him, wanting to be playing football, wanting to be out, kind of, you know, out in the big world, and didn't do anything in school. So academically, I didn't come out with any qualifications. You know, I didn't want to be in a classroom. I just wanted to be on a sports field doing them things. And really, age of 15, 16, started to drink. Interesting, isn't it? Cycle of life. My father was a drinker. What did I start doing? 15, 16, started drinking, going, doing things I shouldn't have been doing, you know, like throwing bricks at windows and running off and all them stupid things. Got to the age of 16, was able to be served in a pub, believe it or not. I was quite tall, you see I'm tall. So I was able to be served. And I left school, no qualifications. I did a YTS course, some of you might remember them. Did a two-year YTS course in building. So I went into the building trade and did very well, was very skilled with my hands, very quickly was earning lots of cash. But all that cash really was fueling me going to the pub, work, pub, work, pub, Friday night going on the town, Saturday night going on the town, and just creating havoc wherever I went. And that was my life really, up until the age of 19, and then my life really progressed from that, from drinking to smoking cannabis, and kind of did that for about a year, was drinking, smoking cannabis. Then it went from drinking, smoking cannabis to taking amphetamines. Then it went from doing the nightclubs for a year, which was what they call the rave scenes, that was big, I don't know if it still is, doing ecstasy, LSD, amphetamines, and kind of, I know there's young ones, so I'm trying to not be too, give you too much information. And really, it came to a place where I was using intravenous, use of drugs, got bad, and it was just a downward spiral, my life was. It kind of started and slowly, progressively got worse, and worse and worse. And it got to the place where really I was contemplating suicide at one point, that my life was so bad. I just thought, I don't want to be living this life anymore. You know, using heroin 5 or 6 times a day. You know, it was really bad. Addicted to methadone. That was the place where I came in my life. And 10 years of substance abuse in my life. And thought, I just want to end it. And it was at that point again, I had that feeling as I was a young boy, that, well, if God's there, then, you know, I just felt at that point again that God's hand was on my life. Even though I didn't have this relationship, I didn't know him, I just sensed at that time, God said, I haven't finished with your life, Steve. And I was like, how's that going to work out? And what happened was I got arrested. I got caught with 100 wraps of heroin. I was dealing to support my own habit. It was bad. I couldn't go any lower in my life. So I got locked up in the police cell, and the first thing again I wanted to do was I took the string out of my boxer shorts, you know, and tried, you know, thought I'm going to end it, and then the police officer caught me, and then I was shipped off to Shrewsbury Prison. So I ended up in Shrewsbury Prison on remand, and for 6 months I realised how drugs had taken hold of my life. Physical addiction, withdrawals, physically addicted, 6 months I was wanting drugs. For looking for them in the prison. And then psychologically for another 6 months, still addicted and wanting to look to escape the reality of being in prison, the reality of the hurt that I'd felt in my life up until that point, and wanting to escape them things. And it was about 1.5 years into my prison sentence. I ended up with a 4-year prison sentence, possession with intent to supply. It was about 1.5 years into my sentence, I started to ask the questions again, thinking about this God. If this God is there, how do I know he's true? How do I know which religion is the right one? And what's the answer to all these big questions that I've got? And for some reason, I started to ask them again. I started to go to chapel, coming out of chapel and going, it doesn't make sense. What are they on about? It was like, I just don't get it. And then all of a sudden, God brought me to a place in my life which was really profound for me. I looked in the mirror in the prison cell, and these are the words that I said to myself. Nothing is going to change my life. They were the words that I said to myself. And that was the place that God had brought me to. And the very next day, an organization called Victory Outreach, they're from South Wales, they're a prison ministry. They're like a hostel, taking people off the streets, taking people from prison. And they came into the prison, and I wasn't even meant to be at this meeting. That's how amazing God is, what he does in people's lives. I wasn't even meant to be there. When I was looking for him, I couldn't find him. When I wasn't, he found me. And the way that it happened was, they had a meeting at the far end of the wing of the prison. I was a wing cleaner. I went over and I was listening from a distance. And the thing that really got me that day was one, the guys who were talking had very similar backgrounds to mine. They'd gone through family abuse. Their lives were broken. They'd gone through drugs. And all that stuff they were talking about, I related to that. And there was one thing that really stood out to me that day, and it's kind of clear as a bell up until this, you know, still there now. And it was these words. One of the lads said that Jesus Christ had changed his life. And I was like, hold on a minute. I didn't think anything would change my life. I'd said in that mirror, nothing will change my life, and I know I'll be dead in 4 months. That was the reality of my situation. Because I knew when I left prison, I was going to go and do the same things I was doing before. No two ways about it. Because that was the life I had. That's what I knew. And all of a sudden, this lad is saying that Jesus has changed his life. And all of a sudden, that drew me. Because I was looking for change. I wanted change, but I didn't think anything could change me. And I said, I went up to this guy after, I said, that's really profound what you said today. If this Jesus can change you, then I want to know more about it. I want to know more about how he can change you and why he changes you. And then the other thing that stood out for me that day was Christians. And it was their acceptance of me and this love of Christ that was coming through them. It was almost like I had this baggage and this weight upon my shoulders. And speaking to these Christians, it was almost like they were saying, Steve, we love you. And up until that point in my life, my family had rejected me. I had nobody to turn to. I was in prison, I was at my lowest point, and the prison system was not healing the inside. Because the Bible is clear that we are broken and we're separated from God, and what we need is Christ in our life to reconcile us back to God. And that's where I come to that place, and I saw this love of these Christians, and they just said, "Steve, we love you." And I went back to my cell. That broke me as a man. Honestly, it broke me. I just thought, I can't believe the love that these people have just shown me today. That really hit me. And then this Jesus could change you. So what happened was, I asked the chaplain for a Bible. And that was the first time that I'd ever opened a Bible and decided to read it for myself. It was a Gideon's Bible, little New Testament one. And as I opened it and read it, I could see that there was something about this Bible that was special. And as I was reading it, it was coming alive and it was giving me the answers that I was looking for. So the other thing that happened was, and it's really hard to explain when it happens, I knew at that point I was different. Something had happened and I couldn't explain it. And it's what the Bible calls it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's God's Spirit at work in you. And that night, I was in my bed, and I just wrestled all night with all these questions going, what about this, and what about that, and what about this? Moses, Israel, all this, and the garden. But through that struggle, I knew that something had happened, and I wasn't the same person. And as I kept reading that Bible, I discovered that Jesus was a real person that came. That he was the Son of God who stepped into history. And the amazing thing that I learned that Jesus done for me was that he died on the cross to take my sin. All that sin up until my life, all them things that I'd done, all them wrong things, that Jesus took it on the cross. The Bible said it's our debt. Okay, so we've all got this debt that's over all of us, our sin. And that God has to deal with sin. And what he did, he dealt with it with Jesus. And I learned that Jesus was my ransom. He paid the price for my sin so that I could be forgiven and I could be in a relationship with God through what he did on the cross. And that was absolutely amazing when I discovered that truth. And all of a sudden, this God that I knew was there and I didn't have a relationship was just blown wide open now. And I knew I was right with God. I knew that my sin was dealt with. And I knew that taking on Jesus' righteousness now and him taking my sin was the most liberating thing that I could ever experience. And that was life-changing. Absolutely life-changing. I came out of prison, went to Victory Outreach for 2 years. I went back to college. Something I would never, ever have done was to go back to college and study academic study. I did what was called a social welfare course. The course was meant to take you to higher education, and I'm like, you know, they're saying fill a UCAS form, and I go, why, you know, go to university. I'm like, I don't want to go to university, but God opened the door, and I went to university. I did a degree in sociology, came out with a 2-1 degree. This is someone who didn't do anything in school, came out with a 2-1 degree. There I met my wife. She was doing a social work diploma. We got married in 2003. Now got 2 daughters. Isabel's my youngest daughter, she's 4. Jessica, my eldest daughter, she's 6. And I could stand here all night and tell you what God has done in my life for the last 15 years. And it's been amazing, and it's been the best thing that could have ever happened to me. And I look back on my life, and I say this, I'm glad I went to prison. Because I had to go to prison to find Jesus. The greatest gift that you could ever find. And I discovered it in prison. And that's been so life-changing for me. So 4.5 years ago, Christianity Explorer said, we're looking for someone who's been in the prisons, who knows about prisons, would take this course and develop it. And in my heart, I thought, I don't want to go back to prison. You know why? Because it was hard, it was tough, it was the most horrible thing that would ever happen in my life. And yet I found Christ. And before I left that prison, I felt the Spirit of God say to me, you will come back here one day, Steve. And it won't be as a prisoner, but you will come back here to tell them about me. And I was like, what? How's that all going to work out? So 4.5 years ago, you know, Christianity Explored said, we're looking for someone. And my heart was like, no, I don't want to. But I said, God, if you want me to go back into prison, then I will go back in. And that's what I've been doing for the last 4.5 years. That's how I got into prison work. So, yeah.
Okay, so, Stephen, you've, as it were, got back into a work, got back into working in prisons, which is something that you didn't really think you'd ever do and didn't really want to do. So, what do you most enjoy about what you do now?
Okay, what do I most enjoy? I think what I most enjoy is getting to know guys in the prison. Okay, so as I go in every week and I get to know them, and I begin to build a relationship with them, they get to see me, the real Steve. So when I go in, I'm going, guys, this is me. You know, this is my life. This is what's happened to me. And you know something? The best thing that you can have is Jesus. So as I go in and I build the relationship up with the guys, just getting to know them and trying to kind of share with them that they can have what I've got and what's happened in my life, and that their life can change. And what's satisfying with that is actually we see lives change. We see God working in these guys' lives. We see actual transformation in front of you. You've got, you know, lifers, you know, who are in for murder, and it's like outrageous to be saying to them, you can find forgiveness in Jesus. You can be right with God. You can have eternal life through what Jesus did on the cross. In some people's view, that is outrageous. But that is so liberating to prisoners, because what they'll say is, when they find Jesus, they'll say, I may be locked up, but actually I am free. I am free because I have Christ in me, and I'm forgiven of my sin, and I'm going to have eternal life. And in that, they say, you know, I'm freer in here than what I would be out there, because if I was out there, I'd probably be doing the things that I shouldn't be doing. So it's just, that is really satisfying to be seeing that and being part of that.
Yeah, I mean, it is an amazing thing to see the transformation in lives, in the lives of prisoners through the great news about Jesus Christ. He has an amazing transforming effect through salvation. Now, Stephen, you've brought some books along.
I have.
Would like just to introduce one or two of them.
Obviously, I'll put the prison edition down there, Christianity Explored. At the forehand, there's several books. Kind of, these are the kind of books that guys will be reading in prison. So this one is called Tough Talk. So it kind of takes the gloss off, you know, that Christianity is for wimps, in a sense, because these are true stories of East End and London hard men, ex-bouncers and debt collectors. So you've got these tough guys actually saying that God broke into their lives through what Jesus done. So you've got all tough guys going, you know, this isn't for wimps, actually. This is the most important thing that could ever happen in someone's life. So that's called Tough Talk. This one is called Catch a Thief. Now, this guy is from South Wales. His name is Richard Taylor. He's now the director, actually, of Victory Outreach. But it's got from career criminal to a life of hope. So this guy was into burglary, into drugs, you know, very young age in Swansea prison. And then he went to a chapel meeting, heard the gospel, and all of a sudden his life changed from that point on. So there's other books there. If you look at them and they take your eye in the sense of, I think I'd like to read that, then take it, have it. So if any of them books take your eye, take them and have them. I didn't bring them in for that, but you can. Because if God is speaking tonight, then I would say go with it. Because God wants to come in. He wants to come into our hearts. And that is the most liberating thing, to have God in us. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's also booklets, This End and Introduction to the Church as well. So any stuff on that table, please feel free to take and just see the stand behind. We've used that stand when we go to exhibitions. Well, thanks very much for
coming
tonight, Stephen, and sharing with us your story and hearing of the really the power and the grace of God and how he turns our lives around. It's been really great to hear how God has led you, and it's great to hear about your family now and the work you're doing now. So thank you very much, Stephen.
You're welcome. And just to say one more thing, I'm preaching here tomorrow morning.
Oh, yeah.
I want to encourage anyone, if God has spoken to you tonight, come back tomorrow. Have a listen to what God's got to say in the morning. So I really encourage you to do that. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. And God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to say, the service here tomorrow morning is at 11 o'clock. And you're all very welcome if you're able to come. So thank you again, Stephen. Thank you again. Thank you, everyone, who's done so much to make this evening a success. You see the display over there. By the way, you might see a couple of imitation scarecrows. Last week in Netley, there was a pumpkin festival, and so they were produced by the Abbey Tots that meets here for that. So do have a look at that afterwards. Thank you for all those who prepared sweets that we've enjoyed this evening. And when you go, if anybody needs a doggy bag full of either pizza or or sweets, I guess I'm looking at students here. you'd be very welcome to take anything, because we do have both bits of pizza and some desserts left over. Thank you all for coming. Don't feel you've got to go right now. Do carry on chatting, but thank you all for coming. I do appreciate you taking an evening out to be with us. Thank you.